You're listening to The Voyager in association with Turkish Airlines on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Voyager on Monocle 24, Monocle's new travel show spotlighting outposts of opportunity for business, pleasure and inspiration all around the world. I'm Steve Bloomfield. So far, we've touched down in Bamako and Belgrade. This week, we head to Istanbul, where your guide is Monocle's Istanbul Bureau Chief, Christopher Lord.
I'm standing in the shadow of Galata Bridge, a claimant like many others to be the heart of Istanbul. We're just a short walk from Monocle's Istanbul Bureau in Karaköy, and I often gravitate towards this bridge, not just for the lines of fishermen who are here come rain or shine, or the vendors that serve up cheap street food, or even for the great view, where you can see the Blue Mosque and the Hagia Sophia across the Bosphorus and Galata Tower rising from Europe. No, the reason I love this bridge is that it's a transit point for the people who make in this city. With bazaars on either side, still filled with craftsmen who make their wares, Galata Bridge is a nexus of ambitious people carrying hammers, welding helmets, chisels and chopping boards. And it's that spirit, I find, that gives this city its entrepreneurial vigour. To start us on this craft voyage, let's meet Dilara Moran. A former advertising executive, Dilara now dedicates her time to promoting and helping to protect the craftspeople who work in the area of Karaköy, close to Galata Bridge.
Okay, this is called Perşembe Pazarı. It's by the water of Karaköy. And here you find all these small shops and vendors, actually, that sell craftsmen things, tools, etc. And this is where all the craftsmen come and purchase their things. So it's a huge bazaar, open-air bazaar, let's call it, where everything is concentrated and where people come, I mean, the craftsmen come to purchase their tools, etc. And as a person, I mean, as an individual as well, I would come here and buy my faucet, for example, instead of going to a shopping mall, to a huge store, because here I can find more solutions, let's say, more choices. And if they don't have the choice that I want, they bring it for me. So, and this way I also help the small businesses.
We pass shops draped with ship's ropes, freshly smelted anchors and life rings that jostle in the wind. There are welders working in the street, next door to a buffet with rotating doner kebabs, and the guys who make taps for the city's hammams. Take Errol Abbey, a welder who worked abroad for 19 years before coming back to Karaköy to run his shop.
If you come to Karaköy at an early age, you'll grow up faster and become a businessman.
Dilara leads us to a building blackened with soot and age, with an open smelting furnace like a lava anthill that roars in the corner. So Dilara, we're stood in this amazing building where there's the sound of industry all around us, banging hammers, scraping charcoal, you name it, you can hear it all around us. What is this building that we're in?
This building was built about approximately 600 years ago. It's called Yelkenci Han, and this is where all the people who work with metal were working. So this was kind of the metal workers' han. Han is actually where you have all the craftsmen and also shops sometimes. So it's kind of like a mall. And right now, even though there were a lot of shops in this, about 20-25 craftsmen, right now we have two left only in this han.
There's no doubt that this area is changing as waterfront Karaköy gentrifies. Dilara now runs tours of Karaköy for visitors from the house hotel nearby to introduce them to the old craft heritage that can be found in these streets. There's also a spot of fine dining to be had, and mutfak dili, meaning kitchen talk, run by a husband and wife team, is her tip for lunch. But get there before 12 p.m, when the local tradesmen take all the seats. Just a short stroll from Perşembe Pazarı, a younger face of Karaköy presents itself. Under a canopy of grapevines planted years ago by one of the old residents, a host of new cafes, bars and boutiques have opened up next to ship's chandlers and nautical craftsmen. One of these startups is Bay, a Scandinavian-inspired boutique with a careful edit of clothes by Jay Lindeberg, Acne Studios, and, here's the caveat, a host of Turkish designers, objects made in Istanbul. Bey was co-founded by Ozan Ertürk.
When you walk around Karaköy, you will see tunnels from like 18th centuries tunnels, and you see a church from who is demolished while the Byzantium siege, or you see a hardware store open like 60 years ago, or you see a car parking lot in front of our store they have been here like for 35 years. So it's the really mixture of the newest new of Istanbul and the oldest of Istanbul. So generally these two things come together in Istanbul, usually they spark.
Before we take a quick break, I want to check in with Emir Ali Enç. So I'm going to hop on a tram from Karaköy to the historical quarter of the city, Sultanahmet. Emir started making his signature soy copper pans in 2011 from a tiny workshop near the Grand Bazaar. The son of diplomats, he dropped out to learn to become a coppersmith, the master craftsman of the Ottoman Empire. And today, Emir ships his wares, much coveted by Michelin-starred chefs, all over the world.
This is Erol Usta. He's the most important guy here, basically, after me. So I'm gonna... Okay, look, all our anvils, all our hammers, I wish it was a little bit in a better shape, are polished. Look, this is a 240-year-old hammer for bending, the one that we use to make fish kettles.
440 years old.
Yeah, you can tell by the pits and the carbon steel, because these are like high carbon steel. They are also made by blacksmiths. In Iran, they still make them. In Turkey, the last guy that was making them passed away 3 years ago. He was 98 years old.
When you come up here, Emir, does it remind you of when you were an apprentice just learning your trade in Syria?
All the time. And this hammer is from my days in Syria, basically.
Emir Ali Enç of Soy Copper Pans. After a short break, I'm going to have a very different kind of grease on my hands. We're going to try a selection of tastier wares, also made right here on Istanbul's streets.
Pack your bags, get ready for takeoff, and kick back at Atatürk Airport's newly expanded Lounge Istanbul. From there, let Turkish Airlines take you on a journey to more than 270 destinations in over 100 countries around the world. With a fleet of more than 285 state-of-the-art aircraft, no destination is too far. Turkish Airlines, widen your world.
To work up a bit of an appetite, you could hike up one of Istanbul's seven hills to Galata, where we're heading to next. But I prefer to go by funicular. Tunnel is the world's second oldest underground railway still in service. Only the London Underground is older, and this little train, which opened in the 1870s, typifies some of the city's ambitious spirit for me. While I ascend, here are Monocle's top five things to see and do while you're in Istanbul. Go to Istanbul Modern. It's home to a great collection of contemporary Turkish art. Walk from Arnavutköy to Bebek, taking in the Art Nouveau Egyptian Consulate and stopping for lunch at Luca. Watch the sunset from the rooftop terrace at Mikla in the Marmara Pera Hotel. Don't write off the Grand Bazaar as a tourist trap and lose yourself in this vital commercial network. Of course, visit the Hagia Sophia, once a cathedral, then a mosque, and now a truly spectacular museum. To taste some authentic street food with a man who knows it well, I'm heading to Azmerli Mescit Cadesi in Beyoğlu. Kamel Demirel is a former windsurfing champion turned chef who runs two restaurants called Alancha, one in Alaçatı near to Izmir, and one right here in Istanbul. Kemal is one of a generation of Turkish chefs who are exploring the roots of Anatolian cuisine. He's trying to understand how a cuisine that has had so many influences, from the Phoenicians to the Byzantines to the Ottomans and, of course, to the other cultures that have walked across this land in its history, and how that can be brought together into a series of discerning dishes. Now, Kemal, you always say that street food, the street food of Istanbul, is one of the best ways to understand Anatolian cuisine. Why would you say that?
First of all, I can say that about the Anatolian cuisine, it's refined in Ottoman Empire. In the Ottoman cuisine, and where Ottoman cuisine lies is in Istanbul. And in the Ottoman cuisine is much more influenced from the street foods. And the street food is mostly about the food of folks. It's not a luxury food, but more comforting and easy, which makes you feel, you know, comfort. And about the street food, you find mostly foods that are from barley, chickpeas, or from offals like lamb livers or kidneys. And that's what you can find in the street food. Like what we are having here is the lamb liver skewer that is grilled. And that's what makes the soul of Anatolia, I think. And the best way to represent it, it's the street food.
So we've got this amazing selection of street foods here right in front of us, Kemal. Can you just talk us through a little bit about what we've got here?
What we are having is the lamb liver now and some chopped meats, and they're just grilling it on the charcoal, and they don't cook it, they don't overcook it, it's just slightly cooked. And mostly what you eat is always embellished with some ciders, and as you see, you have more ciders than the main thing you should eat. And
that's very true.
That's because of the hospitality and generosity, and that's the soul of the Anatolia, I can say.
So we've got all these side dishes here, as well as this kind of this main meat here. So let's try a little bit of that meat there. Let's give it a whirl. Oh, that's amazing.
What you will see about Anatolian cuisine, the main character is the tastes are always strong. They're not so silky, I can say, but they're mostly very forte, I can say. That's because we use lots of spices, molasses, and we like them a bit full body.
Kemal Demirasal of Alancha, and you can find his own restaurant in Nişantaşı. Now it's just a short walk to Passage Petit Champs. Although rents are rising, Istanbul is still somewhere that contemporary artists can live and work. Galleries is one of the city's oldest running contemporary art galleries. Co-owned by Tabanyolu Architects since 2011, the space is housed in an old French home with the original painted walls left intact. Nick Hackworth took over the creative directorship of the gallery in 2015 after years of running London's Paradise Row Gallery. Nick, Istanbul is still able to support artists who want to live and work in the city. How does that affect an art scene, do you think?
I think it affects the art scene massively. I used to run my own gallery in London for 8 years. And the difference between the working environment for artists in London and in Istanbul is massive. Most of the Turkish artists, certainly all the young ones we work with here in Gallerist, all live and work really close to here. And for the art scene, there's a huge impact. It means basically the artists hang out with each other, they talk to each other, they talk to curators, they talk to critics. It's basically, it's a scene. Basically, that's what a scene is meant to be. It's people physically interacting. Obviously, if you're in London, you still have mini scenes in places like Peckham, or you still have the mini London, but I think they're becoming increasingly fragmented because of rates.
Nick, you came out here this year to head up the creative directorship of the gallery here. Can you just explain a little bit about what enticed you to Istanbul?
Istanbul is a city I've been in love with for a really long time. At least 10 years I've been coming back and forth. And I think particularly for an expat, if you're not a Turk, it's an amazing city to live in. It's beautiful, it's not expensive, it's pretty cosmopolitan. And I think it's one of the most spectacular cities on earth. And it certainly wears its history in a more spectacular way than any other city I know. And that makes it a great place to live.
Istanbul has kept hold of its making heritage. And it's that a voyager to this city can absorb, explore, and perhaps be inspired to create something themselves right here in Istanbul. But there's one other thing that they make pretty well around here. Just around the corner is Soho House, and the rooftop bar and the former US Embassy building mixes a rather mean interpretation of the Moscow Mule. For Monocle in Istanbul, I'm Christopher Law.
And that's all for this week's edition of The Voyager. My thanks to Christopher Lord in Istanbul and Toby Hammond here in London. Next week on the programme, we're heading to Brazil, and in particular, Sao Paulo. Join us then. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Until we board The Voyager again, happy travels.